Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we distill complex topics so you can get informed fast. Today, we're jumping into a really massive transformation in the European energy system. You see Denmark right at the forefront.
Absolutely. We're talking huge renewable buildouts, rapid electrification, and this emerging green hydrogen production, power to X.
And it's a strategic inflection point, isn't it? It's pushing traditional grid management right to the brink.
It really is. The tools built for a 20th century grid, centralized one-way power flow, they just aren't designed for what we're building now.
Right. This incredibly complex, decentralized, multi-directional system we have today. I can see why that's such a fundamental challenge.
Yeah.
So our mission in this deep dive is to take a close look at a potential, well, they're calling it a moonshot for the electric grid, an AI-powered solution called X's Capistry. We'll explore how it lines up with Denmark's national grid operator, Energinet, as they tackle these huge hurdles on their path to 100% renewable electricity.
And our goal for you, the listener, is really to provide a shortcut, a way to understand how this kind of advanced tech could let a country like Denmark keep the lights on, maintain world-class security of supply, which is absolutely paramount.
Critically important, yeah.
While also dramatically speeding up their green transition. We've pulled out the key insights from our sources to give you that clear picture.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why does the grid, especially Denmark's grid, even need a moonshot solution? You mentioned this mismatch.
Yes.
We're moving from that old grid, big power plants, passive consumers, to something totally different in the 21st century. What does that actually look like?
Well, think millions of active participants. You've got massive offshore wind farms, big solar plants, but also rooftop solar, EVs charging, and maybe even discharging batteries, all pushing and pulling energy.
So energy flowing in all directions, not just one way.
Exactly. And the real issue is the sheer scale and speed and complexity of it all. These enormous offshore wind projects, the power to X plants making hydrogen, they just swamp the old ways of planning and operating the grid.
Those old linear sort of time-intensive methods just can't cope.
They really can't. The future grid is dynamic, it's stochastic, meaning unpredictable to some degree, and the legacy tools weren't built for that.
And that leads us straight to Energinet's challenge. They have this amazing reputation for security of supply, world-leading, really.
They do.
But they also have this incredibly ambitious goal of a fully decarbonized grid. It sounds like trying to redesign a jet engine while it's running full throttle.
That's not a bad analogy, actually. They're operating right at the edge of what's currently possible in grid management. Huge pressure.
Okay, so enter X's Tapestry. Our sources call this Moonshot, an AI-powered, unified platform. The analogy that really clicked for me was aiming to be a Google Maps for electrons. What does that actually mean for the grid?
Well, fundamentally, it's about visibility and control in this new era. Historically, grid data is fragmented. It's stuck in silos across different organizations, different software tools. Nobody has the complete picture in real time.
Yeah.
Tapestry tries to fix that by weaving together literally trillions of data points, grid models, sensor readings, weather, market data into a single coherent knowledge graph.
Okay, a knowledge graph. Help me visualize that. So instead of data in separate silos, what does the knowledge graph let you do?
Think of it like an intelligent web connecting everything. Instead of just a static map, it's a dynamic representation. If the AI queries a specific power line, it instantly knows its capacity, its current load, the weather affecting it, maybe even nearby EV charging patterns. It's all linked.
I see. So it understands the relationships between all these different pieces.
Precisely. It provides the shared, unified understanding of how electricity is moving and how the system is behaving. That's the core vision. And their products support this. The grid planning tool is the big one for TSOs like Energinet for doing these long-term simulations, looking decades ahead. They also have tools for operations, like better forecasting, which is crucial. But it's important to say it's not yet replacing the core real-time control systems like SCADA that operators use minute by minute in the control room.
Got it. It's more about enhancing planning and providing critical inputs, not taking over the steering wheel entirely right now.
Exactly. Preparing for the future grid.
So this moonshot idea sounds impressive, but where has Tapestry actually, started to prove itself? Let's look at some real-world examples. You mentioned Chile. They had these big goals, tricky geography.
Yeah.
What was the specific issue there?
Yeah, Chile's grid operator, CEN, had a major bottleneck. Their planning tools were incredibly slow. Running just one simulation scenario for the future grid took them days.
Days. Wow.
Yeah, days. So planning for their rapid renewable energy expansion, they want 70% renewables by 2030, was becoming almost impossible. It was holding back the transition.
So how did Tapestry help?
They brought in the grid planning tool, built this virtual model, this digital twin of Chile's system, and automated a lot of the data handling.
And the result?
It was pretty dramatic. An 86% cut in simulation time. Work that took a week could be done in a single day.
A week to a day.
Yes. And maybe even more importantly, they could run 30 different scenarios at the same time. So planning goes from being this frustrating bottleneck to actually enabling faster decisions, exploring more possibilities, building resilience.
That's a game changer for strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned forecasting improvements too.
That's right. They worked with Google DeepMind to fine-tune the GraphCast AI weather model for Chile.
GraphCast, that's Google's big weather AI.
Yes, cutting-edge stuff. And tailoring it for Chile boosted wind forecasting accuracy by up to 15% compared to the best traditional model, the ECMWF HRES.
15% is huge in forecasting terms. That must save real money in managing the grid day to day.
Absolutely. Better forecasts mean less need for expensive backup reserves, more efficient grid operation.
Okay, so Chile shows the power for long-term planning and forecasting. But what about that immediate problem many grids face?
Yeah.
Getting new projects connected. The U.S. provides a good example here, right? PJM.
Yeah, PJM Interconnection, they operate a massive grid in the eastern U.S., and they have this enormous backlog, thousands of renewable and battery projects waiting to connect. The sources called it a technical boondoggle because the process was so manual and complex.
A boondoggle? Okay. So lots of paperwork and delays. How's Tapestry helping PJM?
They've recently started collaborating, using AI tools, creating that unified grid model, and specifically automating really time-consuming steps, like verifying the technical data developers submit in their applications.
So the AI can read the application, pull out the key specs, check them against grid requirements almost instantly.
Essentially, yes. Speeding up steps that used to take engineers a lot of time, freeing them up for more complex analysis.
And that's directly relevant for EnergyNet, isn't it? Because Denmark also has this growing queue of solar, hybrid projects, power to X.
Highly relevant. PJM's experience provides a potential playbook for streamlining that whole interconnection process.
Okay, one more case study, Australia. This one sounds really interesting, about grid stability.
Yes. With CSIRO, Australia's National Science Agency, Australia leads the world in rooftop solar, which is fantastic for clean energy, but it creates a challenge.
A stability challenge.
Yeah.
Because solar panels and wind turbines connect through inverters.
Exactly. They're inverter-based resources, or IBRs. As they displace traditional power plants with big spinning generators, the grid loses physical inertia.
Inertia. That physical resistance to changes in frequency that keeps the grid stable.
That's the one. Less inertia means the grid is more susceptible to disturbances, frequency fluctuations, even blackouts. It's a growing problem globally.
So what did Tapestry and CSIRO do?
They prototyped smart inverters called grid-forming inverters, or GFM inverters.
Yeah.
Unlike standard grid-following inverters that just react to the grid, these GFM inverters can proactively help stabilize grid voltage and frequency. They act a bit like mini versions of those traditional generators.
So they actively create stability. They don't just follow along.
Correct. They can mimic that stabilizing behavior. And interestingly, they're looking at leveraging cost savings from the automotive supply chain to make them affordable.
And the big innovation here was linking the digital and physical.
Yes, a global first, according to the sources, seamlessly transferring the digital control models they developed in simulations directly onto the physical inverter hardware. It's a big step towards using these digital twins for real-time control.
That feels quite futuristic, but incredibly important.
It is, and while it's still research, it directly tackles the exact inertia and stability issues EnergyNet is facing with its massive wind power penetration, especially looking ahead to those offshore energy islands. It shows Tapestry's ambition goes beyond just planning.
All right, fantastic examples. Chile, PJM, Australia, they really paint a picture. Let's bring this back to Denmark now. Why is EnergyNet such a prime candidate for something like Tapestry? Let's quickly recap Denmark's situation.
Okay. Denmark has tough, legally binding climate targets. 70% emissions cut by 2030, 100% renewable electricity also by 2030, and climate neutral by 2045.
Really ambitious.
Extremely. And they're already well on their way. Wind and solar hit around 63% of electricity consumption in 2023. But the future build-out is staggering, quadrupling onshore wind and solar. Offshore wind going from maybe 2.5 gigawatts now to at least 14 by 2030, possibly 37 gigawatts by 2050 with these huge energy islands.
Wow.
And then add power to X, on top of that, maybe 26 gigawatts of new demand for green hydrogen production by 2050. It's a total system transformation.
So given that scale of change, where are EnergyNet's biggest headaches, the critical bottlenecks?
Several stand out. First, grid congestion. You've got massive amounts of renewable power generated offshore or in Western Jutland, sparsely populated areas.
Right.
But the demand is mainly in the east. The grid wasn't built for those huge one-way power flows. So you get costly curtailment, having to shut down perfectly good wind turbines because the grid can't handle the power.
Wasting clean energy. That must be frustrating.
Very. It's this pacing problem.
Mm-hmm.
The renewables get built faster than the grid upgrades can keep up. Then there's forecasting uncertainty. With over 60% variable renewables, small forecast errors have big impacts. A tiny miscalculation in wind speed, say 1 meter per second off, that can swing generation by 500 megawatts. That's a lot of power to manage unexpectedly.
So improving forecasts even slightly saves real money on balancing the grid.
Millions of euros annually, potentially. Next, inertia and IBR stability. Same issue as Australia, but amplified by Denmark's huge wind share. As old plants retire, the grid gets less stable, riskier. EnergyNet needs new ways to manage that.
Okay, congestion, forecasting, stability. What else?
Interconnection queuing. Just like PJM, they have a growing queue of new solar, hybrid, and PTX projects wanting to connect. Making that process faster and smoother is key to hitting their targets.
And finally, data.
Yes, data accessibility and silos. Getting seamless data flow between EnergyNet as the transmission system operator, TSO, and the local distribution system operators, DSOs, is still a challenge. That fragmented view hinders truly optimal planning and operation.
So looking at those specific Danish bottlenecks, how well does Tapestry seem to align? Where's the fit?
It looks like a pretty strong fit, actually. For planning, that ability to slash simulation times, like in Chile, is directly relevant for analyzing complex future scenarios, those energy islands, new HVDC links, the impact of massive PTX.
Makes sense.
For forecasting, that AI-driven approach using models like GraphCast offers a clear, quantifiable way to improve wind and solar predictions, potentially saving EnergyNet significant balancing costs.
And the PJM example gives them a model for tackling their interconnection queue.
Exactly. A potential playbook for streamlining how new green assets get onto the grid. And even though Tapestry has a separate product for DSOs called GridAware, if Danish DSOs were to adopt it.
Ah, then EnergyNet, the TSO, would get much better visibility into the distribution grids.
Precisely. That high-fidelity digital twin data from the DSOs would feed into EnergyNet's transmission planning, creating that much more holistic, unified view of the whole system. It all points towards building that single source of truth.
Okay, the potential looks strong. But, you know, implementing something this complex into critical national infrastructure, that's never simple. No moonshot is easy. What are the big hurdles or considerations for actually putting Tapestry into practice at EnergyNet?
You're right. Implementation is key. The absolute foundation is data. You need comprehensive, high-quality, granular data for the AI to work effectively.
What kind of data are we talking about?
Everything, really. Grid models and standard formats like CGMS, real-time operational data from SCADA systems, high-frequency data from PMU's phaser measurement unit.
Those give you really precise grid measurements.
Very precise, yes. Plus, historical operational data, weather forecasts and actuals, market data, even potentially asset details from the DSOs.
Mm.
And crucially, assessing and cleaning that data, ensuring its quality, would be step one. Garbage in, garbage out, absolutely applies here.
Okay, data is foundational. What about integrating it securely? This is sensitive national infrastructure data.
Security is paramount. The recommended approach is a hybrid cloud setup, probably using EnergyNet's existing Microsoft Azure platform. You'd have a central data platform acting as a secure go-between. Critical operational data, the OT data from SCADA, and maybe WAM's wide area measurement systems.
Right.
That would flow one way through secure data diodes or gateways. These ensure data can only flow out of the operational network, not back in, which protects against cyber attacks targeting the control systems.
Like a one-way valve for data.
Exactly. Tapestry would then interact with the central platform through secure, well-defined APIs, keeping EnergyNet firmly in control of its data.
That sounds robust. But what about the AI itself, the black box problem, if it's a cloud service? How does EnergyNet trust its recommendations if they can't fully see inside?
That's a valid concern, a definite trade-off with as-a-service models. But this is where the new EU AI Act becomes really
But
important.
new European regulations for AI.
Yes, and it specifically classifies AI used in critical infrastructure, like energy grids, as high risk.
Which doesn't mean you can't use it, but.
But it triggers very strict legal requirements for both Tapestry, the provider, and Energinet, the user. Things like rigorous risk management, strong data governance, detailed technical documentation,
Yeah.
and critically, requirements for transparency and explainability, often called XAI. Users need to be able to understand why the AI is making a particular recommendation, not just what it recommends.
So no black box is allowed for critical decisions.
Essentially, yes. Plus, there's an absolute requirement for human oversight. The AI can recommend, but humans must be in the loop for critical decisions. This regulation basically gives Energinet the legal muscle to demand that transparency and robustness from X.
That's a powerful lever. What about the specific Danish context, regulators, other players?
Yeah, engagement would be crucial. They'd need buy-in from the Danish Energy Agency, especially regarding long-term plans. The Danish utility regulator might need to approve new methods or associated costs. And coordinating closely with the DSOs and other market participants is vital for making it work smoothly across the system.
Okay, so it's a complex undertaking. It sounds like potentially a significant investment, too, in terms of technology, process changes, people. What's the business case? Does it actually make financial sense for Energinet?
Well, the sources included an illustrative 10-year cost-benefit analysis, and the numbers look pretty compelling, actually. The projected net present value, NPV, that's the total expected financial benefit over 10 years, accounting for costs, and the time value of money was estimated between 171 million and 722 million.
That's a pretty wide range, but definitely positive.
Yes, indicating strong potential value. The benefit cost ratio, BCR, was between 1.9 and 3.9, meaning for every euro invested, they expect to get back between 1.90 and 3.90 in benefits.
Also very strong. And payback.
Relatively quick, estimated at around 3 to 6 years.
Okay, so financially it seems to stack up. What's driving those benefits mainly?
Primarily three things. Operational efficiencies, especially from better forecasting leading to lower balancing costs. Secondly, reducing that expensive renewable curtailment using more of the clean energy they generate.
Right.
And thirdly, the potential to defer or avoid some massive capital expenditure on new grid reinforcements by planning and operating the existing grid much more intelligently. Smarter use of assets can save billions in the long run.
So compared to the alternatives,
Right.
why Tapestry specifically? Couldn't Energinet just say upgrade their current tools like Power Factory or maybe try building something similar themselves using open source components?
Those are options, but they have drawbacks. Simply upgrading existing tools incrementally probably won't provide the leap in capability needed for the sheer scale of Denmark's transition. It's too slow, too piecemeal.
And building it in-house.
That carries huge development risks and costs. Energinet's core job is running the grid reliably, not becoming a large-scale software developer. The recommendation is actually for coexistence.
Ah, so not replacing everything.
Exactly. Use Tapestry for what it's good at. Massive scale, system-wide, multi-scenario analysis for strategic planning. But keep using trusted tools like Power Factory for detailed engineering studies and validating specific results. Use the right tool for the right job.
That sounds pragmatic. So how should Energinet actually start? Dip their toes in first.
Yes, a phased pilot program is the recommended way forward, probably over 2025, 2026. Two parallel tracks.
Okay, what's Pilot A?
Pilot A, planning acceleration. The goal here is to really quantify the speed up using Energinet's own complex grid models, especially for planning those big North Sea energy hubs. They'd set clear targets, like, say, achieving a 50 times reduction in the time it takes to run a specific set of planning simulations, or maybe running over 100 different future scenarios in a single 2-week period.
Really stress test the planning capabilities. And Pilot B, forecasting uplift. This would focus on testing that AI-driven forecasting using Tapestry and maybe GraphCast, specifically tailored for Danish conditions, particularly the North Sea wind patterns. The goals would be quantitative too, aiming for maybe a 10% or greater reduction in forecast errors and calculating the projected savings and balancing costs, perhaps targeting a 5% reduction annually.
So focus pilots to prove the value in Energinet's specific context before committing fully.
Exactly. De-risk the investment, generate real Danish data.
Makes sense. But even with careful pilots, there are always risks with major strategic initiatives like this. Vendor lock-in seems like a big one with a platform like Tapestry.
It absolutely is. Mitigation means building strong contractual safeguards from the start. Ensuring data portability is key. EnergyNet needs to be able to get its data back out easily. And insisting on using open standards like CGMES helps avoid being trapped by proprietary data formats.
Okay. What about data security and sovereignty?
That's non-negotiable. Ensuring critical grid data stays under EnergyNet's control, ideally resides physically within EU data centers, and adheres to all relevant privacy and security regulations. The hybrid cloud architecture with data diodes helps address this.
And explainability, the XAI point.
That's crucial for building trust with operators and complying with the EU AI Act. The system needs to be able to explain why it's making a recommendation, not just spit out an answer. That's a technical challenge, but a necessary one.
One last risk. AI models can sometimes degrade over time, right? Model drift.
Yes, that's a real phenomenon.
Yeah.
The world changes, the grid changes, and an AI model trained on old data might become less accurate. The mitigation is having a robust machine learning operations framework, MLOps.
MLOps.
It's like DevOps, but for machine learning. It involves continuously monitoring the AI model's performance, validating its outputs against reality, and having processes in place to regularly retrain or update the models with new data to keep them accurate and relevant. It's essential for maintaining performance long term.
Okay, so continuous vigilance is needed. So wrapping this all up, what's the big takeaway for you, the listener? Really, this deep dive shows us a critical pathway for how a leading energy nation like Denmark can potentially use cutting-edge AI like Tapestry, not just to manage, but to accelerate its transition to a fully green, decarbonized future, all while keeping that vital grid stability and security.
It's a shift from just building renewables to building the intelligence needed to actually manage them effectively at scale. It's transforming the nervous system of the grid itself.
Which leads to a final thought, perhaps. As these digital twins, these AI platforms, become more deeply woven into our critical infrastructure, energy, water, transport, how does that fundamentally change how we interact with, how we understand, and maybe how we control these essential systems that underpin modern life?
It's a profound question about control, trust, and the future relationship between humans and intelligent machines in managing society's core functions. Something definitely worth thinking about.
Indeed. We'll leave you with that thought. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.